Thank you again for the invitation, the privilege to be here. It's always a privilege to share about what God is doing and share that with you as stakeholders, because the reality is what happens on the mission field without people at home. Giving, sharing, praying, endeavor in this ministry, this gospel of Jesus Christ. We talked a little bit about that concept, and I want to kind of develop it just a little bit more here this evening. We talked about the idea that God wants to work in us, within us, through us. I can't completely wrap my brain around the idea, but God wants to partner with you and me. I can understand partnering with great people like Pastor Wayne, D.S., Tim Carr, I'm not so sure about, but can I get an amen? Scott, he paid me to do that. But God, I really can't wrap my brain around the idea that God does want to partner with us. He wants to work in us and through us. As I said this morning, I think there ought to be a better plan. There ought to be a better way of doing it. But that's His design. That's His plan. That's His call. He's God, by the way. And He has that authority to make that decision. And He has chosen to partner with us. Over in the book of Philippians, the first chapter, writing to the people of Philippi, Paul writes these familiar words, Philippians chapter 1, beginning there at verse 3. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, that's God, God who began this good work in you and I, will carry it on until completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That is God setting forth the arrangement of this partnership that He wants to work with us and through us. And the Apostle Paul is commending the people of Philippi for their partnership in His ministry and their sending Him to go and be a part of these missionary endeavors and how they continue to support and pray and encourage and help and give so that He could do the work that He has been doing. And that's exactly what happens when we as a body of Christ, we as a people of God, partner together. As I said this morning, you may not be able to go everywhere that the gospel is being preached. But one of the things that I love about the Church of the Nazarene is that every time I drop a dollar in the offering plate, I am a partner in the mission of Jesus Christ. Amen? We are able to partner. When you gave of an offering, the missionary offering this morning, to go towards the World Evangelism Fund and towards mission, the Thanksgiving offering, you are partnering. You may never go to Bangladesh. You may never go to India. You may never go to Belize or Honduras or some of the places that your mission teams often go, Guyana and different places. But as a result of your partnership in this ministry, you have a part to play. So I asked myself, well, what are some of the key partnership elements? What are some of the key things that we can partner together? How can we partner in this gospel of Jesus Christ? What are some of the things that the Apostle Paul was commending the people of Philippi for their partnership? And how can we pick up on that same partnership? First of all, pray regularly. The prayer partner is the most important part of the partnership. If you believe that, say amen. Because God, for some reason, why he has chosen to do this, I don't know, but he has chosen to work through the prayers of his people. He has chosen to move as people begin to pray, as people begin to cry out to God. I don't know that we really recognize here in the United States how powerful prayer is. I think sometimes we've kind of gotten removed, as we talked about this morning. We've gotten a little bit comfortable, and we've got a little bit self-reliant, and we've come to an age of independence, and we don't need anybody else or anything else. I'm a self-made man. I rise up to my own ability. I pull myself up by my own bootstraps. But we don't recognize the need and the power of prayer. Apostle Paul says, in all of my prayers for you, every time I remember you, every time God brings you to my mind, we don't have to feel guilty because we don't pray for every missionary by name every day. But when God brings somebody to your mind, amen? When God brings a situation or a country or a circumstance to your mind, and you are reminded by the Holy Spirit of this individual or this circumstance or this person in your community, in your mission field, then we need to begin to pray. One of the most important things that you can do as mission teams go out from your church is to pray for those teams. Every day throughout that week, maybe even set up prayer partners that will pray for members of that team each and every day. Maybe that's something you already do, but it is vitally important that we have partnership in this prayer, that we are praying on a daily, regular basis for these people. We've done kind of a fun thing in our church over the last year is we set up a time of corporate prayer. I've heard of this in different places, and we implement it in our church, and it's sometime between 9:38 and 10:02. Doesn't matter if it's in the morning or in the evening. 9:38 or 10:02. Matthew chapter 9 verse 38 talks about the prayer to the Lord of the harvest. Luke chapter 10 verse 2 says that same thing. And so I've challenged our people anytime, set their phone, set their alarm at 9:38 or 10:02. They can pray for 2 minutes, they can pray for the whole 24 minutes, whatever the case may be, and ask that people would begin to pray to the Lord of the harvest. Did you realize that that's a prayer that God promised would be answered? Jesus said, here's what you need to do. He said, the workers are few, the harvest field is plentiful, and you need to call out to the God of heaven, the harvester, the great harvester, and ask him to send forth laborers into this harvest field. There's a prayer that is going to be answered. Now, let me let you in on a little secret. A lot of times, you become part of that answer to prayer. You become some of that, the harvesters, and God lays that on your mind, your heart. But every day we set aside this corporate time, and we challenge everybody in our church to gather together. I've got a younger brother that pastors in Florida, and at 2:12 every day his phone goes off, and it doesn't matter. He's faithful. I call him, not even thinking about it. We'll be talking, and all of a sudden he'll say, "Hey, wait a second, we got to pray." Right in the middle of my conversation, right in midstream, what I'm saying, doesn't matter. He says, "Hey, it's time to pray. It's 2:12. We pray for the lost. We pray for our church. We pray for the people that we're trying to reach. And every day, they as a body of believers in corporate prayer, they partner together and accomplish probably one of the most important things in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to pray regularly. Second of all, go willingly. You could call these personnel partners. People that partner together and they go. You heard of the Great Commission. And it simply says, you know, go into the church and sit in the pews and sing a few songs and drop a couple of dollars in the offering plate. And pat your pastor on the back on the way out. And check that off your list for the week. And feel like you've done what you're supposed to do as a Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian. Right? No. Might call that the great omission. That's not the great commission. The Great Commission says, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Go! Now, let me tell you something. You may not be able to go outside of the United States. You may not be able to go on one of the mission trips. You may not be able to go outside to foreign missions, but you can go across town. You can go across the street. You can go across the aisle. You can go. It's not here just collected here. Salt in the shaker is worthless. That's what this is. This building is a great big salt shaker. And we've gathered together and we're praising God and we're encouraged and we have a great time of fellowship. But this is not the sum total of our existence. Amen or oh my. This is not what we were called to do. Get up on Sunday morning and go to church and just sit there in the pews and sing a few songs and bless God, I went to church. Never miss church. We were called to go. To go into all the world. Maybe you can go either in person or by proxy. Maybe you can't physically go on a mission trip, but maybe you could financially support somebody else that could go. Maybe you can't be the one that does the ministry, but you can be of support and help. But go nonetheless. Could be across the room, could be across the street, could be across the state, could be across the world. God may be calling some of you, some of our young people here, God may be speaking to your heart this evening and saying, I want you to go on the next mission trip. I want you to go into your school and make an impact. I want you to become a missionary. Maybe God might call out of this very service some young person, some child, some young adult, maybe even some older adult, to become a missionary, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, somebody who is willing to go. The team that went to Belize, Machaca, the last time, they met a great pastor by the name of Ramon. Ramon is just a little short, catchy Indian pastor. He's about this tall. And at the age of 50, God called Ramon to preach. Not 15, not 5, not 25, but at the age of 50, God called Ramon to preach. Ramon lives in the village of Big Falls. Those that went there to Belize, they stayed near to Big Falls and got in the van every day and drove and went down to the village of Machaca. Did you know that the circumference of the earth, depending on which internet site you look up, the circumference of the earth is 24,909 miles? We discovered, as Pastor Ramon came to visit me one day, Pastor Ramon had circled the globe twice during 15 years of ministry. You see, Pastor Ramon lives in the village of Big Falls, and about 8 miles one way is the village of Machaca. And he would get on his bicycle on early Sunday morning and ride all the way down to Machaca. He would spend the afternoon there in Machaca and have a service, or have service that morning, spend the afternoon there, have service in the evening, and then maybe spend the night and the next morning ride home. Wednesday night, he would do the same thing. At one point, he pastored another village that was even further away. And in the total of three churches, we discovered that Pastor Ramon, as we did the math, he almost circumnavigated the globe twice, almost traveling 50,000 miles on a bicycle. At the age of 50, he began. By the time he was talking to me, this was his, he was 65 years of age. He had calves like this. You couldn't imagine. And at the age of 65, he came to me and he was sharing with me about this. And he didn't know how many miles he had traveled, but he began to talk to me about it. And he had a problem. I thought, man, sure. He's ready to retire. He's given up. He's worn out. Well, he was wanting to retire. But really what he wanted was new tires. Pastor Ramon had gone through two bicycles, and this was his third bicycle that he was working on, and the back tire was smaller than the front tire because he had worn out the rim and worn out the tire, and he put on a new tire and a new rim, and so guess what? We bought him a brand new bicycle. We retired him, and he kept going. And he discovered, and he was an inspiration. And you know, lots of times when I think about and it begins to kind of rain, or maybe up here in Pennsylvania it kind of snows a little bit, gets a little cold, and everybody stays home. You know those days where it's a little inconvenient because you know, oh man, we got other things that we could do. I'm not sure I'm going to go to church today. I'm always reminded of Pastor Ramon, who rain or shine. There's no snow in Belize, but rain or shine, he'd get on that bicycle and he'd ride that 15, 16 miles round trip across rugged terrain, rough roads, hills that you can't even imagine. Sometimes that old van that we used to use when it was loaded with team members would kind of chug up that hill. But old Pastor Ramon, he just pedaled on. And so whenever you think it's time to give up, whenever you think you've done enough, you know, there comes that kind of place in our time and our ministry and in the life of the church, and some will say, well, Pastor, I've done my time. Oh, I've served and I've taught, and it's time for somebody else to take up the mantle. Well, maybe in some realm, but there's no real scriptural concept of retirement from ministry. You understand that, right? There's no real scriptural concept of just taking it easy. You've done enough. Just have a break now, and you just sit back and let somebody else take up the slack. Now, maybe you might rearrange. Maybe you might shift your gears just a little bit. Maybe you might not be focused on working with preschool children anymore. After 30 years of being in the children's department. But there is still something that God wants you to do. Amen? The key is finding out what that is and being willing to go. So, we have prayer partners. We have personnel partners. Pray regularly. Go willingly. Third would be financial partners. I mentioned a moment ago, one of the things that I love about this Church of the Nazarene is that whenever we participate in an offering like we received this morning, we are sharing in the harvest. Every dollar I drop in the offering plate, a portion of that goes some way, somehow, to world missions. A portion of that pays budgets. A portion of that goes to contribute to the missionary endeavors across the world. And I love the fact that every time I drop even just a dollar in the offering plate in the Church of the Nazarene, anywhere in the world, as long as they're a part of the team, I know that I'm contributing to the Great Commission. Recently, I was at an NMI convention. District NMI convention, and they took up an offering there for a missionary in South America. There in the service was another missionary. And when they came around with the offering plates, this other missionary, he emptied his wallet. He took everything that he had out of his wallet and put it in the offering plate. I thought about that for a moment, and I wondered what that was about. But I discovered that this missionary took the opportunity to give because he wanted to be a part of the missionary endeavors in South America. He could have sat back and he could have rationalized. He could have said, well, I'm a missionary myself, and well, I'm on the field, and I've already given my time, and I'm already doing all that I can, and I'm just here, and I wish they'd take up an offering for me. But you know, I've done all I can do, and I don't need to give because I'm a missionary myself. But his attitude was exactly the opposite. He emptied his wallet and gave everything that he had because he wanted to be a part of what God was doing in South America. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of pastor I want to be. That's the kind of leader that I want to be. I want to be a part of what God is doing all over the world. I want to be able to share in the harvest, even if it's not my pet project. Amen? Or oh my. We kind of discover that some givers have pet projects. They have things that they like to give towards. Certain aspects of the church. And that's my project, or that's my area. And I understand that. I have a love for Southern Belize. I make no excuses about that. I am prejudiced towards the country of Belize. I spent a third of my life there. I love the people. I love the place. I love the atmosphere. My church that I'm pastoring, we had the privilege of working ourselves out of a job. Served there in the country of Belize for 6 years. This last time, my parents were Nazarene missionaries there, so I was 9 weeks old when we moved to Belize the first time. Spent the first 7 years of my life in Belize, and then recently my family and I went back. Spent 6 years just over a year ago, and had the distinct privilege of working myself out of a job. I served as district superintendent for 4.5 years for the country of Belize, 70 churches, 9 schools, work and witness projects, work and witness teams, 7 to 10 work and witness teams every year. It was quite a load. But I had the distinct privilege of working myself out of a job and transitioning the country back to national leadership. One of the pastors that I had mentored and worked with, I was able to recommend to the Board of General Superintendents to take my place as the new district superintendent. Reverend Keith Joseph and Judy Joseph are doing an excellent job. As a matter of fact, when I fly back to Dallas tomorrow, I meet them in Dallas. They're flying up to Dallas, and they'll spend the week with us there in Temple, and he'll be preaching at our church this coming weekend. And I love the people of Belize. I love what God is doing. My church has kind of been after me about doing a work and witness project back to Belize, and I've kind of been quiet about that. If you tell them I said this, I'd probably deny it, but I haven't been wanting to go back because I'm afraid if I go, I might want to stay. Because it's a great place. So I understand that God gives us a heart for certain things. And God gives us a love for certain people and certain places and certain opportunities. But every once in a while, God calls us to get outside of our comfort zone and give not just to our pet project, but to His kingdom. For the love of God and for the betterment of His kingdom. For His good, for His glory, and for our good. So those would be financial partners. Pray regularly. Go willingly. Give generously. Share enthusiastically. You could label these as promotional partners. Everybody has a story to tell. Guess what? You and I are all a product of missions. Amen? We are. We are a product of missions. This church, Mifflinburg Church of the Nazarene, is a product of missional outreach. Someone answered the call of God to plant a church in this town 75 years ago. It was laid upon somebody's heart to get out of their comfort zone, to go, to be a part, and to come and be a part of this new church start 75 years ago. Somebody walked across the street and invited your family to church. Somebody invited your mom or dad to come and be a part of this church or a church. Somebody invited somewhere along the line to get on a school bus and come to children's church. Somebody willingly picked you up and said, I am going to take you to church, because they were willing and desiring to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ to you and to your family. You are here because a product of missions. But we're a forgetful people. Oh, how quickly we forget. How quickly we forget where we've come from and where we've been. And we forget to tell the story. We forget that one of our primary purposes is to tell the story of what God has done and what God is doing. One of our pastors was there before a district committee trying to get a district license for the first time. This was years ago. There's a bit of tension that goes on between different communities there in Belize. The Mayan and Quechua Indian people of southern Belize are kind of considered a subclass, a substandard people, and they don't have the education, they don't have the resources, they don't have the airs that the traditional Caribbean Belizean would have. And so they're kind of considered a substandard class of people. This pastor was there before the credentials board, and they were asking him a bunch of questions, and he had been studying and doing his best and not really understanding all of the language and struggling with some of that because he was a Quechua Indian. And they weren't sure they were going to give him a district license until he spoke up and he said, you know what? I don't understand all there is to understand. I don't know all of the right things to say. But he said, one thing I know. God touched me. And I have to go tell my people. God touched me. I don't have all the theological answers. I don't have all the book knowledge. But he said, one thing I know is that God touched me. And I have to go tell my people. Can I ask you a question this evening? Did God touch you? Has God touched your life? Has God transformed you? Has God made you into something that you never dreamt possible? Maybe more importantly, who are you telling about it? Who are your people that need to know that God loves them, that Jesus died on the cross for them? Who are the people that you need to share and promote the good news and love of Jesus Christ? Pray regularly. Go willingly. Give generously. Share enthusiastically. And last but not least, work synergistically. We could call these co-op partners. The definition of synergy is that when people work together, they accomplish more than the sum total of their individual parts. In other words, if you go over here and you do this, and I go over here and I do this, and we add those two results together, that gives us one result. But if you come together and I come together and the two of us work together, We will always accomplish more together than we would ever accomplish by ourselves. Again, that's one of the great things I love about the Church of the Nazarene, about being a part of this great holiness church, that we have a part in this great harvest. Sometimes the missionaries, they get all the accolades, but without the local church doing its part, we could never accomplish this. Without synergy, we are limited by our own abilities. Lots of people have energy, but having energy is not enough. We need to work together synergistically to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of our separate effects. Synergy multiplies our efforts. And this is one of the great things about a long-term partnership with us and other churches across the district. You hear your DS talking about some great initiatives, some great things that are taking place. This is not just about foreign missions. This is not just about going across the world. As I said, go across the state. Go across the street. Get involved in some of the things that your district is doing. Wow, 1,000 turkeys and 1,000 meals. That's exciting. That's phenomenal. To be a part of a team that comes together and shares the load and works together and multiplies their efforts. This gives everybody an opportunity to have a part in the project. Maybe you can't go and build a building or teach a child, but you can buy a block. You can send a backpack. You can buy a turkey. All of a sudden, as a team, we all have a role. We all have a part to play in the big picture. I'll never forget, as long as I live, the village of Criqui Sarco. For some reason, as I started going back to Belize, it was just kind of a place that caught my attention. And something inside of me, it was God speaking to me. I know now. He said, I want you to go to the village of Criqui Sarco. My dad, of course, had been through almost all of southern Belize as a missionary and been to almost every village. And I had asked him one time about Criqui Sarco, and he said, you know what? He said, that's one of the few villages I never got to. I mean, it's a remote village. It's to the end of the road and get in a boat. And by those days, it was no road. You had to go out by sea and go out around the sea and come in a river and way back up the river. And he said, you know what, that's the one place I never got to go. And when he said that, God spoke to me and said, Darren, I want you to go. I want you to go to Criqui Sarco. I shared this thought and idea about maybe taking a Jesus film, a pack and equipment down there and showing the Jesus film. And I shared this with some of the members of our church. And about a month or so later, a whole set of Jesus film equipment showed up at the church. Waterproof cases, all of the supplies, all the details that we would need. And one of the members of the church said, next time you go to Belize, now you can go to Criqui Sarco. Again, working synergistically together as people begin to share. This individual never set foot in the village of Criqui Sarco. But God gave a vision, laid it on somebody's heart. It was shared with others, and others came together. I'll never forget the trip. We got together, and we made our way. We discovered that there was a new road that had been cut down through there, and so we went as far as the road would go, and then unloaded all the packs, loaded them into a boat, and crossed the stream up into the village, unloaded, and made our way up into the village. It was the most beautiful village I'd ever seen. It was just pristine. I mean, it was untouched. No gringos ever went there unless they had a real reason to go there. It was just, there's no garbage on the ground. There's not a whole lot of plastic. There's no electricity, no phones. I mean, it's just what they call in Belize, back a bush. I mean, it's just in the middle of nowhere. all of the villagers, all the guys, whenever they want to do a project or a cleanup, if the main areas of walkways, they're kind of their roads and whatnot, need to be cleared, all the men in the village come out together and on a Saturday bring their machetes and clear brush, work together. If somebody's building a building, a church or a facility or a house or something, they all come together, they work together. It's common there in Belize and it's something they still do. But it was just a beautiful village. Before we set up the Jesus film and showed that, we kind of made our way around the village and just kind of began to visit with some of the people and share with them. One of our pastors, he had a daughter that actually lived in the village and taught in the school, in the Catholic school there in the village. And so we went to her house and she served us some warm Kool-Aid and some old bread. And it was some of the best tasting stuff we had had. We went around the village and we met one family. And this family, they were so excited to see us. And I'll never forget what they said. They said, "We have been praying." Hear me now. "We have been praying that the Nazarenes would come to our village." They had heard about what God was doing in the Church of the Nazarene and throughout the rest of the country. Throughout the rest of the villages. And they had been praying that the Nazarenes, that God would send the Nazarenes to their village. I don't know if you've ever been to an answer to prayer before, but it's an amazing experience. To recognize that God speaks to your heart and you show up at the right place at the right time with all of the pieces coming together. All of the synergy working out, the material and the supplies ordered, somebody takes care of that, the details are financed, all of that comes together to be there at the right place at the right time as an answer to prayer for somebody in a remote village that has been praying that the Nazarenes would come. Well, guess what? You've done that before. Because right there in the village of Machaca, right there in southern Belize, it was a little church, had a thatched building, had a vision that was bigger than them. And they had been praying that God would send them somebody that would help them with their building. Just a few years ago, you showed up. You built that building. As I shared this morning in the first service, I forgot to share it in the second service, that there's another team going in. The church there in Machaca has been doing well. They've been growing, as I understand. And there's another team going in after Christmas, the day after Christmas. And they'll be adding on to that little village, that little building there in Machaca, the second phase of the three-phase building plan that we set up that you were worked with. Some of you here today may not ever have set foot in the village or the country. But as a result of the synergy, as a result of the partnership, as a result of your prayers, as a result of your giving, as a result of your enthusiasm and your sharing, as a result of you being a part of a mission-minded church, you have a share in the harvest as we partner together. So could I challenge you this evening that we should pray regularly. We should go willingly. We should give generously. We should share enthusiastically. And last but not least, we should work synergistically to accomplish great things for a great God. Because remember, in all things, in all circumstances, and at all times, God is able. Amen. Thank you so much.